The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So we start this morning with Israel launching overnight attacks on Iran. 200 warplanes participated, according to the Israeli military, who say they struck over 100 targets. Confirmed casualties include Hossein Salami, the commander-in-chief of the Iran Revolutionary Guard, along with some scientists working on the nuclear program. Announcing the operation, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he was carrying out the attack to protect Israel from a potential nuclear attack.
For decades, the tyrants of Tehran have brazenly, openly called for Israel's destruction. They've backed up their genocidal rhetoric with a program to develop nuclear weapons. In recent years, Iran has produced enough highly enriched uranium for 9 atom bombs. 9. In recent months, Iran has taken steps that it has never taken before, steps to weaponize this enriched uranium. And if not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months, less than a year. This is a clear and present danger to Israel's very survival.
And that was Benjamin Netanyahu speaking after that operation had begun. We're joined now by Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
This was not entirely unexpected when we saw the warnings to American personnel to evacuate Middle East countries.
No, that was clear. It's been clear in the last 36 hours that something could have been afoot. The Americans say they did not know about this particular timing of the strike. That may be true, who can say? But certainly it was developing pretty rapidly in terms of a crisis. I think the extent to which the Israelis have now attacked Iran is pretty considerable. They've clearly done a lot of damage. They've started by essentially targeting not just the core of the Iranian nuclear program, but also the people involved in it. And I think this is why, in a sense, this is a start of quite a long series of air raids that's going to develop over the next week or so, possibly more than that. So this seems to be the start of something pretty major with all kinds of implications, I'm afraid.
Looking at the list of known casualties, Hossein Salami, the commander-in-chief of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, Gholam Ali Rashid, commander of Qatam al-Anbiya, central headquarters, Fayadun Abbasi, nuclear scientist, former head of the Atomic Energy Organization in Iran, Mohammad Mahdi Eteranshi, another nuclear scientist who was involved in the weapons program, and Mohammad Bagheri, chief of staff of the armed forces. So this was incredible intelligence on the part of Israel to be able to target these key people.
Yes, I mean, they knew their locations. I think in many cases they would have been family homes. So other members of the family were probably being killed. There's some indications of that. And I think the Israelis have been preparing the outline of this attack for a very long time. Their plan seems to be to set back Iran's nuclear program by as many years as they can, 5, maybe even 10 years. At the moment, they're trying to kill as many of the leaders of the program directly or indirect leaders, but that will probably extend because what they'll be trying to do is to kill as many of the people involved in the program, even at a quite low level, as they can. I think in due course, you're likely to see the Israelis attacking university departments that are training students in these areas, the laboratories and the rest, because what they want to do is actually to damage the entire program. I don't think the Israelis think that they can actually get regime change in Iran. They may be thinking they can try that, but certainly what they're intent on doing is doing as much damage in as potent a way as possible, as quickly as possible. And of course, there are many ways in which Iran can respond, but we're in the very early stages of what I fear is going to be a prolonged conflict drawn out with implications right across the world economy. That's the risk.
Now, Iran has announced on state television that it will not participate in the ongoing talks with the United States on the nuclear question. These were scheduled, I think, to begin on Sunday again, and they said no. But can this be seen as Israel attempting to bomb them back to the negotiating table?
I would rather doubt that. I think Israel sees it very much from its own lies. I don't think it believes that Iran come in a sense be negotiated away. It does suggest that, in fact, Trump has very little influence on the Netanyahu government. And that, I think, will be something that will concern the people around Trump. And it does appear that Netanyahu has just gone ahead and done what he wants to do when he thinks is most opportune. That does not mean that the United States will withdraw support for Israel. I think it will maintain that. As long as Netanyahu has a reasonable degree of support from Trump, he won't be worried about that side of things. So for the moment, I think Netanyahu sees it as a clear position for him to actually continue what he's doing. But I don't really think he expects to be negotiations, because in the final analysis, Netanyahu probably does not believe that Iran can be trusted from their perspective. One has to remember, from the Iranian perspective, Israel is already a nuclear power. And the one thing we can be almost certain of is that if it is possible, Iran will move as rapidly as possible to at least be able to test a crude nuclear device. So apart from anything else, this is a very bad day for nuclear proliferation. But that is where we are. And I think we have to realize that the world is changing, and changing in a very unfortunate way, to put it mildly.
Now, we've had both Marco Rubio, the U.S. Secretary of State, and President Trump talking about this. Rubio characterized the action as unilateral action by their close ally. He said, "We're not involved in strikes against Iran. Our top priority is protecting American forces in the region." Trump, on the other hand, said that he was aware that they were going to strike, but that simply Americans were not involved. But there's no doubt the weaponry used, many of the aircraft and the bombs and the missiles and so on, would have been manufactured by America.
They would. And I think one has to see it from the point of view of ordinary Iranians, and indeed people right across the Middle East who may not have very much time for the United States. And certainly you find many Palestinians essentially see the Israeli warplanes as essentially American kit in Israeli markings. And that's a pretty common view right across the Middle East. And certainly as far as Iran is concerned, it will see the hand of the United States in this. One of the very big questions which may or may not be answered is whether the United States has provided Israel with its very latest deep penetrating warheads, the bunker busters that can go pretty deep underground before basically before exploding. We don't know whether Israel has any of those or has some of its own in some way. We certainly don't know how deep these can go. What we do know is that Iran has spent a lot of time over the last, 20 years, digging down really deep to have some of its facilities very heavily protected. And that is probably going to determine why Israel will be going for many other facilities which are indirectly concerned with the nuclear program. It may not be able to get at the heart of the program. I don't think that will become clear for some time. And we may well find that in the next 2 or 3 months, suddenly there's a report of an underground explosion in Iran, which involves a nuclear charge. That's certainly possible. And then again, I think Israel will be determined to do such attacks on Iran as to get regime change. So these are all the unknowns at the moment, but they're very uncomfortable because, as I say, this is a major step forward or a major step backward, depending on your point of view.
How degraded are the Iranian air defenses? I mean, are they literally a sitting target for everything that Israel will throw at them over the coming days?
That's, again, very difficult to say. You remember there were a series of Israeli strikes on Iran a few months ago. Those indicated that the air defenses were actually pretty weak. And that may well be true. But against that, you have to remember that Iran has many other options. It does have proxies in the region, the Houthis obviously in Yemen, although its proxies in southern Lebanon, Hezbollah and the rest are weakened. They're not that weakened, although smaller in number in Iraq. But more particularly, the Revolutionary Guard could probably have the facilities to make real trouble as far as the passage of tanker traffic through the Straits of Hormuz. We've already seen an increase in oil prices, and that may continue. There are many other things that can happen in the next week or so, but they do include ways in which indirectly Iran can strike back. Whether it chooses to do so is difficult to say. It may even sort of re-engage in negotiations with the United States to demonstrate that essentially it is its own master and will do what it wants, despite of what Israel is doing. Again, very uncertain times at the moment.
Now, the decision to do this by Netanyahu and his government, I mean, was that accelerated by the impunity which the international community has allowed them to act in Gaza?
I would have thought so. I mean, essentially, what has been happening in Gaza is utterly appalling. But essentially, Israel seems to be able to get away with it. And it's not just the United States. I mean, you know, there's a lot of argument and a lot of anger in Britain at what the British government is doing, particularly the way in which it actually does helpful spy flights from Akrotiri for the Israeli government. So essentially, there is a lot of opposition at public level, but at the core level in the United States, and to an extent countries including Britain, there is still support for Israel. And so Israel does feel it could still do more or less what it wants. It can act to a degree with impunity. And that, I think, is what's been happening in the last 12 hours or so.
Now, what can Iran do? You mentioned the proxies, the Houthis, and we know that the United States was bombing the Houthis and kind of bombed them into agreeing not to attack their vessels at sea. But might that deal be off now on the basis of what Israel has done with the cooperation of the United States? So if the Houthis then re-engage in this particular conflict, what else might Iran do? What do they have on their own territory or perhaps fifth columnists within Israel that could damage Israel?
Directly damage Israel, it's very difficult to say, and it may not be very much. I think it would be much more indirect. It's a question really of whether Iran will recognize that it is in the position, if it wishes, to do pretty considerable damage to world energy supplies, and particularly the Straits of Hormuz, and also the entry into the Red Sea via the Houthis. What they can do, well, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard seem to have plenty of facilities in terms of very small submarines, fast attack craft, essentially speedboats even, that can certainly affect commercial shipping, and they don't have to do much to scare off the tanker traffic. So here, and you have such big terminals, and Ras Tanura, the one for Saudi Arabia and other terminals, they're very big by world standards. And of course, the way in which world oil markets work, and indeed gas markets as well, is it doesn't take very much to scare investors off and lead to big price rises. So we've seen pretty small price rises of oil overnight. What will be significant is whether we're still in that position within a week. If not, then again, it's rather new territory, but not entirely new. This is where we were back in 1973-74, when the Arab members of OPEC essentially put the price of oil up hugely. That was at a different order of magnitude even to what can potentially happen now, but it still caused serious trouble. And remember what happened in the mid-1980s in particular, after these events, and that led to sort of major changes in the world economy in any way. So in many ways, again, strange times. One thing to remember is that if you compare now with, say, 20 years ago, the United States is more nearly sufficient in oil and gas than it was because of the huge amount of fracking. But against that, American oil refineries as a whole are not geared up to process American oil to any great extent. So they sell that abroad and buy refined oil from elsewhere. So they're indirectly vulnerable even there. So again, the United States isn't completely immune from any effect on world oil markets in a way that one might first think.
The final question is about the bomb that Iran might have been developing with the view to annihilating Israel, which is what Netanyahu says he feared. But, I mean, when you look at the geography and you see where Israel is and you see where Iran is, and the fallout from any bombs dropped on Israel would land on Iraq and then ultimately on Iran. So even the viability of using nukes in this way seems just unwise and maybe almost impossible unless you have this catastrophic view of the Day of Judgment or whatever.
Well, there is that risk. I mean, you know, that can be true on both sides. But yes, I mean, the whole idea of actually going for any kind of nuclear use is sort of, well, frankly, it is mad. But that doesn't mean that you don't end up moving in that direction. This is a danger of nuclear proliferation. I mean, you know, Arab countries around Israel have always known that Israel has nuclear weapons, and they believe that in extreme circumstances, Israel would use them. Essentially, that applies to Iran as well. But essentially, from Iran's perspective, Israel is a country which has got nuclear weapons and has had them probably for about 50 or so years. And it is saying that essentially that we want to demonstrate our own power, and we want at least the capability to have them. I think one of the crucial things that's happened in the last 12 hours or so is getting closer to that capability will now be a primary Iranian aim. So essentially, they may not test a device, but they're going to get a lot closer to it if they can. And that is why I think, you know, this is a very bad day for trying to control nuclear proliferation.
And from the Iranian point of view, it's all about, they would hope, if they never use them because it would blow back on them, it's about deterrence. If you hit us, we can hit you and destroy you. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're a major country in the Middle East, and you better remember it.
Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.